Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Well, good evening again to our evening service. We started last week a series on worldliness, and I attempted last week to lay the foundation of what we were going to continue to unpack in the series to come. I tried to reveal to us that worldliness is not simply what we've always thought it was to be. We've always substituted worldliness for extreme forms of wickedness. But I tried to explain last week that we could, as those who are religious, still fall prey to worldliness. A few statements I made last week that I want to share again this week to help us remember and to prepare us for tonight was that worldliness is any human thinking or speaking or activity pursued without God or against God. I mentioned that our current threat is not to persecution, but not to persecution from the world, but we are more at threat to seduction from the world. Tonight, I'd like to zoom in to one of the big weaknesses we have to seduction to the world, that is media. Last week, I ended with a quote from C.J. Mahaney that wrote, "What does it look like when Christ governs the television? What does it look like when Christ governs the internet? What does it look like when Christ governs the Spotify playlist and the social media we engage in?" You see, the question tonight is, what does it look like for God to govern your media activity? What did it look like for God to have absolute control of what you watch on TV? What did it look like for God to have absolute control of what you stream on Netflix, on Prime, on Hulu, on Disney, or on DSTV? Would there be any changes? Would it look like, what would it look like for God to have control of what you entertain on social media? What did it look like for God to decide who you followed or what you posted or what you liked or what you shared on social media? What did it look like for God to govern your media activity? Let's pray together again and ask God to help us in the preaching of His Word. And so God, thank You that we could have just sung, Lord, Your Word. We could have worshipped You. We could have magnified Your name. Lord, even in my mind, the words "Christ exalted is our song" is still ringing in my ears. Lord, I do pray that the exalted Christ who is seated at the right hand of God the Father would be the Christ whom we worship as Lord, ruler of our lives. And so God, I pray as we consider this aspect of our involvement in media, God, soften our hearts to see, are there areas, God, where we have given in to sin, we have given in to worldliness in our consumption of media. By Your Spirit, God, give us the ability to rectify what needs to be rectified. Lord, not only do I ask that You convict us, but Lord, correct us. Help us, Lord, to walk worthy of our calling. So God, I pray that the sermon would be clear, it would be understanding, and it would be preached from Your Word. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So the first thing I'd like us to consider tonight is the dangers of mindless consumption. The dangers of mindless consumption. You see, we use media for almost anything and everything. We use it to communicate. We use it to learn. We use it for entertainment. We use it just for our downtime to unwind after busy days. We also use it for religious activities like the Bible or podcasts or anything of that sort. And so like I said last week, media in and of itself is not sinful, but we can so easily fall into the trap of worldliness in our use of media. What I want us to know is that we fall into the trap of worldliness when we allow our selfish desires for personal pleasure, for personal satisfaction, to take over our use of media. If the only reason you are consuming media is just for your selfish desires, for personal pleasure and satisfaction, and you go into this mindlessly, then you will find yourself in trouble. And so I'd like us to consider our use of media today, and let's start off with social media. How would you tonight define your use of social media? I have three categories on the board. Would you define your use of social media as under control, limited, and healthy? Would you define it as not controlled or restricted, but also not having a negative influence on my life? Would you define it as uncontrolled and unhealthy? I check my social networks compulsively throughout the day, and it's probably not good for me. If you choose option C, then you're probably the person who has your cell phone in the bathroom. Question number two. How would you tonight define your consumption of media? Now I'm talking about TV and streaming. Is your TV and your streaming under control, limited, and healthy? Is your consumption of media not controlled or restricted, but also not having a negative influence on your life? Or is it C, uncontrolled and unhealthy? See, many people would say B. B seems to be the comfortable spot we would like to consider ourselves to be. It's not controlled or restricted, but it's also not having any negative influence on my life. Because there are certain outcomes we're expected to have. If I'm not murdering, I'm watching a horror movie, but I'm not going to go and stab somebody. So it's not having any negative influences on my life. You see, what I want to say tonight is there is a mindless consumption of media that assumes that the world is neutral. There's a mindless consumption of media that assumes that everything that the world gives is for your good. You may think that the world is not actively trying to trap you into sin. There's a mindless scrolling, a mindless watching that assumes that your sinful heart is immune to the barrage of sin thrown your way from posts or episodes. You see, we watch YouTube, we watch Netflix, and almost assume that these things won't affect me. They have no negative influence in my life. You see, this sermon is to sound the alarm that a lifestyle of careless viewing, a lifestyle where you're not concerned about what you're watching, is dangerous. We cannot be lazy or nonchalant about the things that our minds absorb. I want to remind us tonight that to enter into any social media platform is to enter into a virtual theater of spiritual warfare. Social media is spiritual warfare. The biggest problem facing us is not too much time spent on social media. Our biggest problem is that we engage social media with our spiritual guard down. We don't expect to be met with war when we're on Twitter or TikTok. Ken Myers describes this battle in strong terms. He says, the challenge of living with popular culture may be well as serious for modern Christians as persecution and plagues were for saints in earlier centuries. Enemies that came loudly are usually much easier to fight than those that are undetected. You see, the enemy slides into your DMs literally through that person, or he slides into your algorithm and he produces things that your soul is most weak to, and you find yourself consuming it and falling into sin. And so consider the words of the Apostle Paul. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and read verse 12. A familiar passage to most of us here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. Our social media platforms are lawful. Our streaming is lawful. TV is lawful. I cannot tell you tonight that if you are currently watching Netflix, that you are currently in sin. I cannot tell you tonight that if you are actively engaged in your cell phone, that you are in sin. But what I am telling you tonight is that your social media, that your streaming, that your watching of television is not always beneficial or helpful. I can tell you that media has a strong undercurrent that has the ability to tempt you to drift into the love of the world. I want to warn us tonight that let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls." You see, oftentimes we want to see is Illuminati true? What I want to say tonight is you don't need proof that Illuminati exists to be mindful of your consumption. You don't need to develop a theology that, yeah, Satan in heaven, he was the angel in charge of music, and so Satan is using music to catch our hearts, and so be mindful of music. You don't need to develop that type of theology. You simply need to know that you are in active spiritual warfare, and all you need to know is that your opponent is crafty. He uses your music. He uses social media. He uses the TV to get you to forget God and to live worldly. Forget God and live fleshly. Forget God and live in sin. You need to know that in you there is a beast called the flesh. The flesh feeds on worldliness. Within you, there is your heart. Your heart is desperately wicked, looking for inventive ways to feed your flesh. Friends, mindless scrolling on media or mindless TV time feeds the flesh and hinders a wholehearted devotion to God. Mindless scrolling on media, mindless TV time feeds the flesh and hinders a wholehearted devotion to God. And so, if you're mindlessly scrolling, if you're mindlessly following TikTok challenges, if you're mindlessly reading tweets and consuming and coveting the Instagram gallery, or you are watching thrilling and trending shows that catch your attention on your TV or on your laptop, actively opening a portal to sinfulness because we have become worldly. We forget God as our desire is for pleasure. You see, we watch and listen to the most vulgar things and they don't offend us anymore. We suggest shows on Netflix that if you watch them, it is just swear word after swear word. I almost said something bomb, but I don't want to lead you to sin. Friends, the truth is we become so consumed and mindlessly looking for things that will make us laugh, looking for things that will entertain us, that things that are sinful, we no longer offended by them. Sex scenes don't embarrass us anymore. Half-naked people or nudity or porn is worth sharing instead of condemning. Mindless scrolling on social media gets us laughing at things that grieve God. Mindless watching entertains what God hates and gives justified reasons why you need to watch those shows. Tonight I want to say that we sometimes forget that the content of media is often made by people whose hearts are still unsaved. We quickly forget that most of the content of the media has its origin in the hearts of unsaved sinners. And as long as that remains the case, it will continue to broadcast sinful and ungodly trends. Listen to the passage in Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. And as I read it, ask yourself the question, does your favorite show contain any of these things? Mark chapter 7, verse 21. It says, "For from within you, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person." An observer of the culture commented and said that media has greater power in our lives than any educational system or government or even the church. Preparing this sermon, I must confess, was hard for me. I have had to do a deep dive in my own use of media. See, being a pastor, I've always said that I would like to keep my finger on the pulse. I want to know what is happening so that I can, with an informed mind, counsel people towards God. And so because of that, I've always kept Twitter, I have Facebook, I have Instagram, and I also have WhatsApp. You see, Twitter for me was a marketplace of ideas. I could see the trends that were developing in our culture. I could see the trends that were developing in our societies, and I could mindfully try to consider how to tackle them biblically. So I had a good reason for why to be on social media. But see, the problem is my good reason quickly turned sour. I stopped being mindful of why I was there in the first place, and I started just mindlessly scrolling through Twitter. I had my guard down and would find myself spending minutes, spending hours reading tweets. And you know, you don't just read the tweets, you also read the comments to the tweet, because the comments are funnier than the tweet itself. This set me up. I had opened up a portal to sin. I was laughing at things that blasphemed God. I was consuming stories of murder and thievery regularly with no prayer, with no mindfulness of God. And I was just simply stirring fear within my own heart, and I was stirring sinful anger in my heart. I was worldly in my use of Twitter because I had forgotten God. I had to delete Twitter. Because what was once beneficial became now a tool in the hands of my flesh. It became a tool in the hands of the devil. My mind was vulnerable. My heart was getting contaminated by constant contact with sin and sinful content. I was filthy. I was fleshly. I was worldly. I needed to kill it. And so I deleted it. Some of you may listen to this and say, yeah, well, that's easy for you because you're a pastor. You have to delete it. Some of you are sitting here thinking, I could never delete TikTok. I could never delete Twitter. I could never delete Netflix. What am I going to do? Some of you may think, I have crossed the line into legalism. But I want to remind us of what I said last week. You see, legalism has become the new buzzword to protect our addictions. Because the legalists are saying, don't watch this. I know they're being Pharisees, and so I'm going to watch it anyway. I'm going to comment on legalism later. But consider how Paul ends those words in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Paul would basically say, if he was here tonight, that I can use social media for good, I can use social media for ministry, but I will not be addicted to it. He would say, if it ever came in the way of my flesh, if it came in the way of my faith, if it came in the way of my walk with Christ, I would easily let it go because social media will not dominate me. But what are other ways that media steals from our Christian experience? I have 5 ways of how media steals from your Christian experience. Number 1, social media steals from us the gaps of life we could be using to pray. Instead of praying without ceasing, we are scrolling without ceasing. Number 2, we have time to watch sporting events, to watch series on Netflix. We find time to text. We find time to scroll, but we never seem to find time to read the scriptures. Number three, we follow trends so easily. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But we struggle to obey simple commands. We are influenced by the world in our speech. We are influenced by the world in our dress. We are influenced by the world in our behavior instead of influencing the world as being salt and light. Walking in the Spirit, speaking the truth in love. Number four, it is easier now to forsake the gathering because you can shop for a spiritual experience online. We are easily deceived into thinking that whatever I can get at church, I can get it online. Number five, it is robbing our relationships. Face-to-face relationships are being replaced with characters and emojis. Many are slowly drifting into becoming loners because they don't need to be with people, forgetting that God has created us to be in community regardless of your personality. There's an older person who is listening to the sermon either on the screen or the stream or in the room, and they're thinking, this sermon is not for me. I have no problem with social media. In fact, I have no idea how to use that Facebook thing or that Twitter thing. Well, I want to say that media is not just Facebook, Twitter, and television, but it's also what you read and what you listen to. If you find yourself constantly reading the news, News 24, you are subscribed. You are subscribed to the newspaper. You're always listening to the news or listening to current events. Then you too, if you're doing that mindlessly, could find your trap in being caught into worldliness through media. Maybe I want to read a quote for us in that line. Expose, but don't gloat. Expose, but don't linger. Expose, but weep. Expose, but pray. Expose, but don't grovel in the mire. Even in the name of mocking the mire. Some think they are justified in lingering in the mire by spending a lot of time finding clever ways to put it down. Expose, but then return quickly to the clean, the clear, the holy air of the mountains of Christ's fellowship. What's the point here? Sometimes you spend so much time on media because your mind is, I want to know what's happening in the news so I can expose. But I want to say you can also be consumed into wanting to be in the know for fleshly reasons. You want to be in the know because you have fears about the economy. You want to be in the know because you have fears about your own health. You want to be in the know because you have fears about the government. You want to be in the know because what you have not realized is your confidence is in man and no longer in God. And so you are constantly spending hours wanting to be in the know. And so you read, you consume mindlessly, and are consumed with fear and anger and hopelessness. Instead of reading the current affairs to lead you to pray, reading the current affairs to lead you to evangelize, you read the current affairs and are stirred to fear. And so I'd like to give us some practical applications as I close. My challenge tonight is you need to move to a mindful, selective usage of media. If you got to this point in the sermon thinking that I'm saying you must go delete all your social media, delete all your streaming networks, delete everything that you read, that's not what I'm saying. But if God leads you to do that, then do it. The point of my sermon, however, is you need to be mindful. You need to be selective in your usage of social media. You need to have Christ, you need to have God in the forefront as you are consuming social media, as you are aware that social media is the theater of spiritual warfare. And so I want to encourage us to live coram Deo, which means before the face of the living God. We need to live before the face of the living God. We need to practice the presence of God. We need to live in the fear of Almighty God and hate what He hates and love what He loves. We need to be selective as Christians of what we consume, because we are no longer those of darkness, but we are those of light. We cannot enjoy the things that the world enjoys because we have the Spirit of God who is grieved by the sinful things of this world. We need to be mindful of what we let our minds and our hearts absorb and consume. And so, to avoid the bait of media, we will have to exercise great oversight and discernment of what we consume. And so I'm going to end us here with just four points. And I'd like to say that I've adapted them from a book that I read on worldliness by C.J. Mahaney, which is actually a great book to read. The first thing I would like us to do is, you think of being mindful and selective in your use of media. Number one, watch what they do. Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, because we'll spend a lot of time here. Ephesians chapter 5. So number one, watch what they do. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 to 12. And it reads, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." Listen to verse 10. "And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret." You see, a lot of what we do on media is done in secret. It's between you and your phone, it's between you and your television, it's between you and your laptop. But I want to suggest tonight that it's between you, God, and your device. And so I would like to say that as a Christian, as one who was formerly in the darkness, but now you are in light, the scriptures are explicitly clear. God has clear expectations for you. Now that you are in light, walk as a child of the light. There must be a distinct difference in what you do, in what you say, and in what you enjoy. Paul says in that passage three things. Number one, he says, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. In what you're watching, in what you're listening to, in what you're reading, is it pleasing to the Lord? Is God pleased by your social media engagement? Is God honored by what you watch on TikTok and on Instagram? Is God pleased by what you read on Twitter and your constant consumption of the news on News 24 and whatever news network you watch? Is God pleased with what you consume on television? Is God pleased by how you unwind? Is God pleased in what you find entertaining and pleasurable? Is it in the light? Paul says, number two, take no part in unfruitful works of darkness. If it is not pleasing to God, it is not good for you, regardless of how funny and trendy it is. He then says, number three, expose them. Instead of hosting watch parties, instead of hosting movie marathons, instead of sharing the posts, warn us against these shows and these trends. If you hear or you see us circulating things that are unbecoming of a Christian, won't you bring us back to light? If you know that a certain trend has its root in deep immorality, won't you come and bring us back to light? Won't you stir us away from what is not of children of the light? Before you go to a movie, screen its content. Don't just watch the trailer to see if it's entertaining and funny, but ask yourself if your viewing of this movie will be pleasing to the Lord. Before you like, comment, and subscribe, ask the question, is this content pleasing to the Lord? Before you scroll endlessly, ask if the constant clogging your algorithm, clogging your time, is it pleasing to the Lord? Number two, watch what they say. Watch what they say. Consider verse 4 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. It says, let there be no filthiness, no foolish talk, no crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. It's sad how vulgar and filthy media is. From waves of swear words to constant sexual innuendo, our ears are constantly exposed to immorality. Swearing is not an innocent byproduct of society. It is a reflection of society's rejection of the truth and its fight against purity. Swearing is out of place for a believer. If you are a swearing believer, then you must be a worldly believer because you have forgotten God with your tongue. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For your Father up above, He's looking down with love. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. For your Father up above, He's looking down in love. So be careful, little tongue, what you say. Number three. Watch out for legalism. Watch out for legalism. As I am preaching, I could sense in the room that the more mature believers who are familiar with legalism were starting to worry that this is a legalistic sermon. Sounds like I'm saying that as Christians, we should only listen to Christian music, we should only stream sermons on YouTube, because anything else is of the devil. That's not what I'm saying. Because legalism is the attempt to earn God's approval and forgiveness through personal performance. Legalism measures people's righteousness through a man-made standard of righteousness. That's not what God is calling for us to do. Last week, I shared with us that as Christians, we are those who can be victorious over worldliness through faith. Jesus has died for our sins. He has given to us the Spirit of God so that we should walk in Him. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we can no longer walk in guilt and slaves to sin. Grace has been lavished upon us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's no chain around your neck that if you've committed sin by mindlessly watching media, now you're a sinful believer, you're a worldly believer, there's no coming back. No, there is grace. But if there is grace, then you must also be wise in your usage of grace. God doesn't just give grace to forgive us of our sinning, but He gives us grace to keep from sinning. And so how can you keep watch from legalism? Well, firstly, don't try to earn God's favor by watching or not watching. Don't try to earn God's favor by scrolling or not scrolling, but consider why or what you're watching. Consider why or what you are scrolling. Don't force your viewing preferences on anyone, and that's why I haven't mentioned any shows. I was tempted to make examples of TV shows, of channels, of social media trends, but I don't want to put my preferences on you. Instead, you must exercise godly discernment. Apply biblical standards to the things that you consume, and I want to encourage you, do not lower your biblical standard for a laugh. Do not lower your biblical standards for a good time. Do not lower God's standards for entertainment and pleasure. Finally, number four, viewers' discretion must be advised. We all are familiar with that phrase. Usually it's in a film that either has sensitive viewing things or it has all-out vulgar. For the Christian, this line must apply to all of media. All of our consumption must be for the viewer's discretion, must be advised. Not only for the extremely violent content, not only for the vulgar content, not only for the sexual content, but we must use this principle for all of media. We must apply discretion to everything we consume. When you leave here tonight, do a deep dive into what you consume, who you follow, what you watch, what you read. Anything that should not be named amongst Christians must be disposed. You must unfollow them. You must delete. You must remove so that you can keep yourself from worldliness, which will lead to sin. Go to your currently watching and see if what you're currently watching brings glory to God. And so I want to close with Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. The things we should allow into our homes, the things we should allow into our eyes, into our ears, into our hearts, must be those things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, and excellent, and worthy of His praise. And so as I started the question tonight, I'll end the question. What would your life look like if God governed your media activity? What should your life look like if God had absolute control of what you watched on TV or on what you streamed? Would there be any changes? What did it look like for God to have control on what you entertain on social media? What did it look like for God to decide who you followed, what you posted, what you watched, and what you liked? Let's pray. And so, God, I really do pray that You would help us to be those who look carefully at how we walk, not as the unwise, but as the wise. Help us to be those who are making the best use of the time, because we understand that the evil days are coming. Help us, God, to not be foolish, but help us to understand what the will of the Lord is. God, I know this sermon is difficult. It was difficult for me because there are many things I find pleasurable. God, there are many things on media that help me to unwind and help me to just chill and have a good laugh. But God, many of them I know are not pleasing to You. Many of them I know are unbecoming of a Christian. Many of them I know, God, open up a portal of mindless scrolling that just leads me to being worldly and fleshly. And so, God, I don't preach the sermon in perfection myself, but I preach the sermon as one who's been convicted by You. And I pray as brothers and sisters in Christ that we will take this seriously. We will take our faith seriously. Because, God, our growth is often stunted because, Lord, we are mindless in what we consume from the world. And so I do even ask that You protect us. Lord, have Your hedge around our hearts, Your hedge around our minds, that, God, we would be protected from the influence of the world. Help us, God, to be those who, by walking in Your Spirit, influence this world by being salt and light to the glory of God. And so, God, I ask for myself, I ask for all of us, as we go into this world to be in it but not of it, Lord, I pray, help us. Help us by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.